Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Preaching time already. I kind of thought we had another song. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Next Sunday morning, I'll be preaching Luke in chapter 2. You'll get the Christmas story and all of its glory, and Lord willing, with the power of God. This morning, I want to follow some good theological advice I received. And I want to preach out of the book of Hebrews and do my best to fulfill my calling here this morning. 43 years ago, I can't remember the exact month, but it was 43 years ago, in Petoskey, in ER, I knelt beside the bed of an old preacher, and I asked him to pray for me, and I asked him for any advice he might have. There in ER, with machines running all around him, he reached his hand over and placed his hand on my head, and he prayed for God to bless the ministry, and prayed that every day of my ministry, at every opportunity, here's his words, here's the counsel I got, that this young man would make much of Jesus. That's what I want to do this morning. There's a lot of scam artists, a lot of scams going on in the world in which we are living today. Whole religions are built on lies and pseudo-truths. The motive for many is fame, it's money, it's power, greed, and self-pleasure. We as a people in this world, we are so gullible. Whole nations will follow things that are so obviously not right and not true. Whole churches, whole denominations get caught up in machinery that doesn't bring any kind of honor to God. When Jesus referred to us as sheep, man, that nothing could have described us better. There are people making money off the most foolish things today. I thought about this this week, and I mentioned it to a couple of people. I want to get a podcast. I want to write a book. I want to get a regular, you know, a website or something on Facebook and publish that I have discovered an ice cream diet and have everybody send money into me to get this ice cream diet. Now, nobody's going to lose any weight, but they'll all be happy and they'll all be fat. And once I get all their money, then I'm going to go with a sequel. It'll be the cookie diet. People will fall into that stuff. People fall into things theologically that are just unbelievable. This time of season that we are living in right now, that we are alive in right now, and here we are celebrating right now, it's not about celebrating some fictitious elf. It's not about exalting some super Hollywood hero. Man, that's not what it's about. It's not about some television program or some song that just kind of, man, it just kind of makes you feel good. It's about the incarnation of God to this earth. It's about God the Son coming down to this world, coming down to this earth, taking on the form of man so that he could go to Calvary, so that he could die in my place and in your place. And I want to tell you, he's enough. He's everything we need. I desire today, in these next 20, 25 minutes we have together, I want to exalt Christ. I want to make much of Jesus. I want to look at the book of Hebrews and just kind of bring it off the page and make it ring. For that to happen, I've got to have the anointing of God. And I want to pray one more time. Would you pray with me? God, please anoint the preacher this morning. May I get a hold of the word of God and be able to teach it with authority and with power. And may the youngest person here, the one that has the least amount of knowledge of the word of God, may they understand. And God, for the one that thinks they know everything, and there's probably some of us here that way as well, God, I pray you'd break us down and you'd help us to understand the simplicity and the power of the incarnation and how big you really are. God, get a hold of us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, first of all, I want you to feel good about what God is doing in the day and age in which we live. I know it's a day of darkness. I understand that. I was at a funeral. Some of you were there on Friday for Donna Anderson. A preacher came up to me and he said, listen, hey, Pastor Rader, he introduced himself. He said, I'm from such and such a church and we watch you on live stream. And I want you to know that we came up and we visited this summer. And I don't know if you remember it or not. And I said, well, no, I really don't remember, but I'm glad you came. It was the sun. He said, we drove up there. My wife and I decided we wanted to go see what made Fundamental Baptist Church tick. And she said, he said that she said before they got here, just before they got here, she said, there's nothing here. There's nobody. There's no houses. We take that for granted. Below the bridge, you know, we see all the trees. They said, there's no McDonald's. There's no Walmart. There's nothing here. And then we sat in your service and we saw a parking lot was full of cars and the auditorium full of happy and singing people and the power of God and people walking forward on the altar at the altar call. And he said, we got back in the vehicle. And before I turned the truck on, we both looked at one another and she said this, that doesn't make sense. And I told the preacher, you just described our ministry to the T. It doesn't make sense that hundreds of people would come together in the middle of nowhere. It's God. Amen. It is God. Pure and simple. Boy, we are basking and right in the middle of God's blessings. And I want to tell you, church people, don't take that for granted. Amen. Don't take for granted what God is doing in our midst. Man, let's just be part, and let's be part of the church. Let's do our part in reaching the world for Christ. It's more than Chippewa County. It's more than Luce County or Mackinac County. It's more than Sioux, Ontario. It's more than reaching below the bridge. We need to reach this region for our Lord Jesus Christ. Make much of Jesus. Take your Bibles again. I know you're already there, the book of Hebrews. Let me give you a little bit of background here. The writer of Hebrews, I believe, is the Apostle Paul. I have settled on that. I wasn't sure about that some time ago, but I'm pretty sure now. The writing style is Pauline. We know that according to chapter 13 and verses 24 and 25, the writer of the book of Hebrews was in Rome. I believe it was the Apostle Paul. And he writes these New Testament Jewish people, believers, and to try to settle them and encourage them. Don't go back to Old Testament Judaism. The weak and the beggarly things of life. Don't go back there. He's doing his best to encourage New Testament Jews on the bigness of God, the completeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus. I just want to say this several different ways, if I can say it this morning. Jesus Christ is all that you need, Christian. He is all that you need. If you're here as an unbeliever and you're searching and you're wondering, what is life all about? You're lost in the darkness, in the chaos of our culture. You need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And He's all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will meet your need after you're born again. After you're growing in grace, don't start following the shiny objects of the world. Jesus Christ is who you need. He's the one that will bring completeness and fulfillment to your family. A lot of Bible verses about that. We are complete in Christ. The Godhead is complete in Christ. Look at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now he's writing to Jewish first century Christians. The early church started in Jerusalem. The command was given, they'd receive power and they'd start in Jerusalem, then go Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There were people called Judaizers that did not completely accept Jesus as their Savior and trust Him and the finished work of the cross. And they started teaching it's Jesus plus the Old Testament law. The Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter 7 and verse 19 that the law makes nothing perfect. We cannot attain righteousness in the law. Whole book of Hebrews is about Jesus. Let me summarize some of it. Jesus is better than the angels, chapters 1 and chapter 2. Jesus is better than Old Testament Moses, chapter 3. Jesus is better than Melchizedek, chapter 5. Better than Aaron, chapter 6. Better than the Old Testament, chapter 8. Better than the sacrifices, chapter 9. Chapter 10, better than the law. Jesus fulfills all of that. So why go back to ritual? Why go back to empty smoke and mirrors and ritualistic religion? Why go back to the machinery when we have something that the world does not have? We have a rest that the world does not understand. It's found in the person of Jesus. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Boy, there's a mouthful there. Jesus is the source to all that we have. Let's go back to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen to these words, and the Word was God. The written word, logos. The spoken word, rhema. The living word, Jesus Christ. We are told in John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, that the Word is Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. He's the source of creation. And without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 identifies the Word, and the Word was made flesh. It's Christmas time. Incarnation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I don't think we understand, I know we take it for granted, how big a miracle that is. That God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, that Elohim, that deity would come down and become a worm of a man. That he would take on the robe of flesh. That he would be made in the likeness of Adam. And would live for 33 years and never sin, never do wrong, and then allow mankind to take him and nail him to a cross. Man, what the Son of God did in the incarnation. You see, if there were no incarnation, there would be no Calvary. And if there was no Calvary, there'd be no resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, there's no hope of heaven. None whatsoever. The Christmas message is about hope for the ruined human race in which we live. It's about God the Son coming and visiting. We need to make much of Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said to the preacher boys, he said, "Sir, if there's no Jesus in your sermon, then sit down and shut up." We need to exalt him. And I know we don't do a good enough job. I know I don't in my personal life, and I know you don't in your personal life. I know there are people you work with that you are not reflecting Christ to all the time. I know there are people you rub shoulders with and you meet in a shopping season right now during the Christmas season, and you're not telling them about the incarnation and about the Son of God. Understand this, without Jesus, we have nothing. Amen. We have nothing. Verse 1 again, go back again to Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He is Creator God. Verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus didn't need any help when he went to Calvary. Jesus didn't need your help, my religious help, or your religious help. Jesus Christ has no rivals. He has no peers. He has no successor. He is the very Son of God. When he went to the cross, when he marched up Calvary's mountain, when he hung, allowed man to nail him to the cross, when they took his body down and put it in a grave, he didn't need the help of any man. He has no peers. He has no rivals. He has no successors. He got up from the grave. He got up from the dead. That corpse became a living being. And he walked among men. And he ascended on up into heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and the church was born. And this church belongs to Jesus. This church is the church of Jesus Christ. Any New Testament church is the church of Jesus Christ. And he left us with a mission: reach the world. And then he's coming back for us. He's coming back via the rapture of the church. Man, what a day, what a glorious day that is going to be. Jesus, he is all that we need. He is the best thing that ever happened to this whole world. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to this sinner man. Man, without him, I'd be lost. I'd be undone. He is the sustainer. I was going to look at Colossians 1:17. Let's not do that. Let's go to John chapter 14. Gospel of John and chapter 14. I want to build on this very quickly. John and chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been with you so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father which dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And then verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus is the sustainer of our life. Jesus is the one that holds it all together. And any good thing that has ever happened at Fundamental Baptist Church, it's all because of Christ. It's not because of some song leader or some preacher or some choir music or some program. That's not it. Because we take Jesus out of the equation, it's all for nothing. Okay, it's the Christmas season. We understand that Jesus is our everything. We understand he has no rivals, no successor. He is our sustainer. We have no steps that we have to climb to approach God. He came to us. He reached down to us. We love him because he first loved us. I don't need to get my life cleaned up to be accepted by God. I come to God as a sinner man. He cleans me up. I follow him. I strive to grow in grace and be the man that God has called me to do and called me to be. And we get to be involved in the work of God. Let me pause for a moment and just thank the Lord for yesterday again. Probably 2/3 of our choir went to the two nursing homes, two senior citizens homes yesterday, and every one of us, you ask anybody that was there, they'll tell you the same thing. We were blessed. We were blessed. And God in heaven knows who was real and who's not and who really understood and who didn't. But man, I just threw out the lifeline after we got done singing, and I'll just leave a great big window. Between 6 and 25 people received Christ as their Savior yesterday between the two places. Man, that was wonderful. One old man brought his Bible out afterwards and showed it and shared it with me and other people as well. And it was just a blessed, blessed time. When I looked out into the faces of those people, you talk about the grace of God. Now, some of them, I'm sure, were already saved. But some of them, they maybe lived their whole life for themselves. And here they are, an elderly person, right at the end of their life. Their candles almost, the candles almost blown out. They're right there at the end of their life. And they received Jesus as their Savior. We're going to see some people in heaven that were saved yesterday. And you know what's cool? Those of you that had part in that, you're going to be rewarded. We're privileged to be on God's team. We are privileged this Christmas season to be part of the work of God. Man, Jesus, he's all that we need. If somehow we could all understand this Christmas season, the year 2023, the bigness of God in sending his son. And Christmas isn't about Christmas trees and little jingles that we sing and pretty lights. It's about God visiting this earth. What a privilege. This message this morning, I know, has not been very academic, and I know there's more I could have said. Let's go back to Hebrews in chapter 1, and let me kind of just go through the end of the chapter here and make a point as I go along. Oh, I want to say this in verse 5. He's sovereign. He's king. When Jesus came the first time, he came as a little baby. Boy, you talk about unassuming. Born to a carpenter, a blue-collar family. Jesus had 4 brothers, according to the Gospel of Mark, and at least 2 sisters that were born after him. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus' earthly father was Joseph, but Joseph did not father Jesus. God, Mary was the vessel that God used to bring the Son of God into this world, and it was a miracle birth. He came as a baby. He was born in a barn. He was laid in a manger. Shepherds, humble shepherds, not church leaders, were called in from the Judean hills, came in, and those Bedouin shepherds came in, and they bowed down and worshiped this baby king. Later on, some wise men traveled, and they came, probably a whole caravan, and they came to worship the toddler Jesus. He came in humility the first time. The next time he comes as King of Kings. So, you know, don't get smart in joking about God and making fun of God above. He's coming as King of Kings. I could take you, I listed them, I got them here, a whole list of scriptures all through the New Testament and the Old Testament that proclaim Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as sovereign. He's coming back. Look what it says here in verse 5 says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." In the Bible, every single angel of God that ever received the worship of men said the very same thing. I paraphrase. Stop! We are created beings. We are like your brethren. We are not God. You don't worship angels. In fact, we were designed to worship one king, just like mankind was. His name is Jesus. Jesus is above the angels. Listen, don't pray to angels. They won't hear your prayers. Don't pray to some statue somewhere. They can't hear your prayers. You pray to the sovereign king. His name is Jesus. He is our mediator. Verse 7 says, "And the angel saith, Who maketh the angels, his angels, spirits, and his ministers, a flame of fire?" He's the creator. "And unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." The writer of the book of Hebrews is saying, Jesus is better than any of our Old Testament heroes. Jesus is better than the Levitical law, the Mosaic law. Jesus is better. He's better than any holy day. Jesus is better than any ritual. He's better than the angels. He is superior. He is the very Son of God. He's deity. He's King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Verse 9. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands, Creator God." Talking about Jesus. "They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old, but as doth a garment." In other words, Jesus, you're the eternal one. "And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." You're immutable. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Angels minister. Jesus, he came and he ministered. He came and he provided. And he sustains us. But he is king. He is sovereign. He's Lord. And there's no hope. There's no eternal life. Not without Jesus, child of God. Jesus is all that we need. If you're here and you're searching for the truth and you've never been born again, your sins have never been forgiven, there's not been that time you were born into the family of God, let me echo that. Jesus is all that you need. Look at chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, and I'm done, all right? I'll go all the way to verse 3. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And what he's saying is, don't go back. Don't go back to the weak and the beggarly things of the law. We've got Jesus. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? He is the Savior. How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Number one, salvation is great. When you get born again, best decision you'll ever make in your life. Greatest thing you'll ever decide to do if you come to Christ and get and take Jesus as your Savior. But if you neglect that salvation, if you never come to Christ, the writer of Hebrews, I believe the Apostle Paul said, there's no hope. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? It's what Christmas is about. It's why Jesus came. And you can be religious from now until the cows come home, but you're not going to go to heaven if you neglect so great salvation. And so I'm asking you this morning, if you're not born again, let me introduce you to the greatest friend I have ever had or ever will have. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll forgive you of all your sins. Say, preacher, I've done so. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll make, it's called grace. It's called mercy. If you'll call upon him, if you repent of your sin and ask Jesus for forgiveness, he'll forgive you today and make you his son, make you his daughter. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around. You say, pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I don't have that confidence. I don't have that faith. I don't know that all my sins are forgiven. I've let God down so many times. I've never received. If there's never been a time or a place where you fully understand your part, which is coming to Christ, surrendered, just as I am, I come, then you need to be born again this morning. You'd say, pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And I'd like Jesus as my Savior. I'd like to receive him and know that I'm a child of God. I understand what Christmas is about. I know what the incarnation is for. I know why Jesus came and he said it, to seek and to save the lost. I understand that. And I want to receive Christ this morning. I want it settled in my heart, finally. If you're here and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. See, you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a heart cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So as if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart. And save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.